Man, let's join together in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the truth of that song we just sang. Father, that you reign in power, that you reign in glory and majesty. Father, we do pray that your kingdom would continue to come here on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, as we look at your word now, open up our hearts, Lord, as we look at this really this amazing passage of scripture from Ephesians 3. Father, what Paul prays for the church in Ephesus, I pray that that would become our reality as your people. Father, we can't do it. We don't have the power to do it. Only you through your spirit can do that work in us. So would you come in power this morning? Father, I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth would truly bring glory and honor to you. So be with us. In your name we prayed. Amen. You may be seated. I have a question for you as we begin our message this morning. You don't have to answer the question, but just think about it. Here's the question. Is today's church malnourished? Is today's church malnourished? By church, I mean the people of God. So it could be church here at Hope. It could be the church around the U.S., church around the world. So is the church malnourished? Now, here's what I mean by malnourished. Here's the definition of it. You'll see it on the screens. A serious condition that occurs when a person's diet doesn't contain the right amount of nutrients. Here are some of the symptoms. Lack of appetite or interest in food or drink. Tiredness and irritability. Inability to concentrate. Higher risk of getting sick and taking longer to heal. Now think about this in a spiritual sense for a moment. When it comes to our faith, when it comes to our walk with God, do we as a church, do we have a lack of appetite or interest in the Word of God? Are we ever tired, irritable as God's people? Never, right? Are we distracted? Do we have a hard time concentrating on spiritual matters? Are we healthy in a spiritual sense? Are we walking in the freedom and the healing that is available to us through Jesus? So do we as a church, do we have a malnutrition problem? We'll come back to that question after a little bit. But we're starting a new series today. We've called it Being the Hands and Feet of Jesus. And for the last 8 weeks, we've looked at what Jesus has accomplished through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. And for those of us who are in Christ, for those of us who have been rescued, redeemed by Jesus and his work on the cross, we're now called to be his hands and feet, to go and share his love, share his truth with those around us. So this is really our discipleship series. And I love 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 20. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So if you're in Christ today, you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Praise God for that. A couple verses later, it continues and says this, therefore, as new creations, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we're called to represent Christ to the world. And he says, God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So as new creations, we're called to represent, we're called to share the love and truth of Christ to those around us. But that's much easier said than done, and we all know that. So what I want to do as we begin this series is I want to spend a couple weeks looking at Ephesians 3. It's a passage that I believe is foundational for understanding how it is that we as God's church can seek to be his hands and his feet to those around us. It's a powerful passage of scripture. It really is a powerful prayer. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. If you're able to stand this morning as I read from God's word, please do that. Ephesians chapter 3, and I would encourage you to follow along in your Bibles this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21 says this, for this reason, Paul is speaking here, he's writing this, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so here in these verses, we see Paul praying this powerful and passionate prayer for the church, for the believers. And Paul is specifically praying for several things, and you can sense his desperation here. And we know that Paul is desperate because he's saying that he's kneeling in prayer. And scripturally, kneeling shows a posture of humility, of submission, of reverence, of desperation. Have you ever been in that place where you're just on your knees, you're crying out, God, would you do this? Because God, without you, I have no hope. I think that's where Paul is. He's praying that for the church. One of my heroes is my dad. He's a great man of faith, a great man of prayer. The older I get, the longer I'm a parent, the more my dad is my hero. I'm like, oh, Dad, you were right. Kids, listen to your parents. They are right. But my parents were missionaries, and my dad, prayer has always been a big part of his life. And he would just spend hours in prayer, and he'd go up to the mountains and pray. And my brother and I, we had this kind of morning routine when we were kids. We'd get up and we'd watch cartoons, not every morning, but a lot of mornings. And it was one of the ways my parents helped us learn Spanish, was watching cartoons in Spanish. This is long before the days of Netflix. This is long before the days of smart TVs. I always tell my kids when they're watching cartoons, you guys have no idea how lucky you are. Because when I was a kid, we had to work in order to watch cartoons. You see, we had this little tube TV. You had to get up off the couch, turn the TV on. There's this little like dial you had to turn. There's like four channels you had, right? Then you had these little rabbit ears. You remember those? And you'd be watching your favorite show, and all of a sudden the signal goes out like, so you got to like hold the rabbit ears like this to try to watch your show. And I mean, it was work to watch cartoons as a kid. Nowadays, it's not. It's just turn it on. It's right there. But we're watching cartoons as a kid in the morning. And we had this large living room. I remember this. We had these bookshelves that divided the living room. As we're watching cartoons, my dad would be on the other side, on his knees, just praying. Sometimes he'd pray for 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. And I have this image in my mind of my dad just on his knees, crying out. And that's the picture I get of the Apostle Paul. This man who deeply loved the church in Ephesus. And he's on his knees, he's crying out, God, would you do these things within your people? God, would you move in power? Would you help them know what's available to them? It's a powerful prayer. And today, I just want to highlight a few things that Paul specifically prays for the church. There's a lot in this text, so this morning we're just going to cover verses 14 through 17, and a couple weeks we'll cover verses 18 through 21. So this is like a mini-series within the larger series. But the first thing that Paul specifically prays for, that he asks God to do within his people, is that they would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in their inner being. So Paul is asking God to do this work in the believers. Now, the Holy Spirit is the giver of life and the Christian's constant source of strength. Now, if you've been at Hope for the past couple of years, since Pastor Brian was called here, you should know a phrase by now, and I'm so glad that he constantly reminds us of this verse, because this is truth, and our minds need to be wrapped around this truth. John 15:5, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. See, apart from Christ, we're just ordinary. Apart from Christ, we have no hope. We have no life. And the Christian life, it's not about striving and striving and striving. No, it's about Christ doing a work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I believe Paul was praying for God to do this work. And so he prays that the believers would be strengthened in their inner being. Now, this is interesting language, isn't it? this concept of our inner being. It sounds kind of like a little Freudian, right? Like, woo. Anyone seen that show Stranger Things on Netflix? That's a big hit. I think of like inner being, like would show up on Stranger Things, right? But this isn't Stranger Things. This isn't Freudian language here. This is scripture. This is truth for you and for me. And so this expression, inner being or inner man, it appears other places in the New Testament. In Romans 7:22, we don't have time to look there, but it's the makeup that delights in the law of God. Think about that. And there's a part of you that delights in the law of God. Isn't that awesome? Inner being. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this. You'll see it on the screen. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Inner self or inner being. And so the inner being composes of our spiritual makeup, that which is not of the flesh. And I love the definition that the Lutheran Study Bible gives. It's on your sermon notes. It's this: the renewed nature in the Christian that battles against the sinful nature. And God, through his Spirit, he wants to work in our inner being. He wants to work in this deeper place. He wants to renew it day by day. You see, he wants to mold us. He wants to shape us. He wants to transform us more and more into the image of Christ. And earlier I asked you the question, is today's church malnourished? And if I'm honest, for us here at Hope, I don't think for the majority of us, I don't think the real danger is malnourishment. Because I've been here for several years now. I mean, I know that many of you, you love God's word. Many of you are plugged into Bible studies outside of just Sunday mornings, small groups. For years, this church has had faithful pastors who've diligently and faithfully studied and proclaimed God's word. And one of the marks of this church, one of the reasons why I love being here, is that we're serious about studying the Word of God. So praise God for that. So I wouldn't say we're necessarily having a malnourishment problem. Maybe some of us, right? Maybe some of us settle for the milk and instead of the meat, as Hebrews 5 talks about. But I would say the majority of us have a good understanding, a love, a good grasp for God's Word. However, and please hear me, I say this out of love this morning, not condemnation, just out of love. I think the potential danger for us is that we arrive at a place in which we lack power, we lack strength in our inner being to be able to apply and walk in the truth of God's word and the gospel. So my fear is that we arrive at this place and we're like, hey, we know God's word, I've memorized it. Are you living it? Are you walking it out? Are you, as a follower of Christ, walking in the freedom he's called you to so you can know it? That doesn't mean you're walking in it. And that's what I believe Paul is praying, that the believers would be strengthened, that they would have power to walk out that which they know in their mind, that would translate into action, into doing. I mean, we know 1,000 things that are right, right? And so many of us, we can't seem to do them. Anyone? Like, you know what you should do, but you can't seem to do it? Anyone struggle with that? Yeah, Romans 7. It's our daily struggle. Look at what Paul writes in Romans 7. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Now listen to this. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So Paul is saying, I know truth. I know what's right. Man, I've studied it. Paul knew scripture. He studied and studied it. But he's like, I'm not always walking in that truth. I'm not always walking in that freedom God has called me to. And he continues on, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So again, we can have all the right knowledge, all the right information about God. We can know all of his commands. We can know the right thing to do. But in and of our own strength, we can't carry it out. Our only hope is Christ, amen? And Him renewing us from the inside out through His Word and through His Spirit. And so again, I believe Paul is pleading for the church. God, would you do a work in the church and the believers? Would you strengthen them with power through your Spirit? Help them to live out what they know. God, would you do a work of transformation that knowledge alone cannot do? Came across this quote from a pastor. He said this, I love this. The Holy Spirit wants to do a deeper work in us than just head knowledge. And amen to that. The Holy Spirit wants to do a deeper work in us than just head knowledge. All right, think of the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They memorized, they studied, they taught God's word. They were versed in it. This was like their life calling, right? Knowing God's law. So they had all this knowledge. And what happened? Jesus continually rebuked them. Look at Matthew 23, 28 again. It says this, so you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So again, we can have all this knowledge about God. That's important. We can know His word. We can know the law, yet knowledge alone, knowledge is important, but knowledge alone doesn't just lead to heart change. Only God through His Spirit at work in us can bring about that transformation. Only God can take our hearts of stone and turn them into hearts of flesh. Only He can mold us, shape us, transform us more and more into whom He's called us to be. Only He can enable us to walk in the freedom we're called to. In church, are we desperate for that? Or do we just want to settle for more information? I've had the privilege these past couple years of teaching confirmation to our students. And I've loved it. I've loved getting to know the students a bit more and seeing them do the work. I know it's a lot of work. It's important. Seeing them memorize scripture. And so I have the first year students and we walk through the New Testament. And then the second year, Pastor Brian, he teaches them right doctrine, right theology, the fundamentals. And I'm so grateful for that because listen, our students, they need to be grounded in the truth of God's word. Amen. They need to be grounded in right theology, in right doctrine. But students, do you know what my prayer is for you? And I pray this every week as I teach our class. That it's not just head knowledge, but that God would take this knowledge, that He would take this truth, and through His Spirit, He would do a work of transformation in your heart, that He would strengthen your inner being so you can walk out, so that you as students can live in the freedom God has called you to. Listen, right knowledge without a heart transformation, that's just a very dangerous place to be in, is it not? Because it leads to pride. It leads to self-righteousness. And that's why Jesus got up all in the faces of the Pharisees. Yes, we need knowledge about God. We do. Yes, we must know and study His word. Yes. But we also need God through His Spirit to do a continual work of renewal, of transformation in our hearts, in our inner being. We need the Holy Spirit to help us walk out the truth that we know. Do we want that? Are we desperate for that? That's what Paul wanted for the church. Not that they just know, but man, that God does a renewal in their hearts, in their minds, in their lives. That's what he's praying for. Let's continue here. I'm going to pick it up in verse 16 again. I'm just going to read verses 16 and 17. So that according to the riches of His glory, He, that's God, may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted, being grounded in love. Now again, this is only a work that God can do in us. And Paul prays that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And so it's only through faith in Jesus that God can begin to do a work of renewal in our hearts, in our minds. And this is why knowing God's word is so important. Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So God's word is living and active. It illuminates our hearts. It illuminates our faith. So yes, we must know God's word. We must be anchored in it, especially in culture today that's saying truth is relative. Whatever you feel is good is right. Whatever you feel is right is right. Whatever you think is truth, no. I mean, that kind of mindset, it's just a train wreck. It's going to lead you into a lot of trouble. There is truth for you and me, and it is found in God's word, in his word alone. And so that God's word must be that anchor for our faith. God's word is our guide. It is the truth we must stand on. And Paul is praying. He's saying that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, would strengthen their faith, that it would be anchored in truth. And then he says this, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, this is powerful. I believe this has huge implications for us. And Nick talked about it earlier. He did a great job. The love Paul is talking about here is the love Christ has for us. And it's a love that surpasses knowledge. It's a love that we can only experience in Christ. And I love what Thomas Winger says in the Concordia Commentary. I put this in your sermon notes. He says this, the love in which they are rooted, that's the church, is Christ's love for them. Not their love for him or one another. Only his love can provide a sure foundation for their lives. Now again, Paul is pleading. I believe he's desperate. He's crying out, God, would you do a work in the church? In their inner being, God, would you cause them to be rooted, to be grounded in the love Christ has for them? Think about that. What would it mean to be rooted, to be grounded in the love of Christ? It's a love that's incomprehensible, a love that surpasses knowledge, a love that is wider, deeper, bigger, higher than any of us can really grasp. It's a love that's a sure foundation for us. And I don't know about you, church, but I want to be rooted. I want to be grounded in that love. That love that's unmovable. That love that's unshakable, that love that is unchanging. I mean, do you ever feel like you're being tossed all over the place? Kind of like blown everywhere by your circumstances, by your emotions, by the way you see things? Yeah, we all do. So this past week was just one of those incredibly busy weeks for me, and I usually do good at juggling a lot of things at one time, but there's just been a lot happening here at church and everything. We had Easter last weekend, and busy with all the services, and then the outreach, and then we all had Monday off. It's nice just to have a day to be with family, so it's a shorter week already, and I come into the office on Tuesday, just a lot to do for the message, and we had the marriage date event last night, and then we have some other things as we're restructuring the next gen and youth and kids, so I had all these things in my mind. I'm like, man, how am I going to focus? And so Thursday morning, I went to my third favorite office. I have three favorite offices, right? First one behind here, second one, Starbucks, third one, Caribou. So I'm just camping out there at Caribou, trying to focus, trying to wrap my mind around this message and wrap it up for the week, get all the sermon notes, all that, and I just can't concentrate. I mean, my mind is everywhere, like, what about this, that? I mean, we've all had those days. And I'm sitting there in Caribou, and it's like the Holy Spirit just prompts me. He's like, Ben, what are you preaching on this weekend? Yeah, Ephesians 3. Yeah, God, would you strengthen me? Would you ground me? Do you know what I did? I got on my knees there in the middle of Caribou. No, I didn't do that. That'd be kind of awkward. No, but I stopped. I opened up scripture and I just said, God, would you help me? God, would you strengthen me? I can't do it. Would you cause my mind, my will, my emotions right now to be rooted, to be grounded in your love and your truth? This love, this truth that's unmovable, unshakable, unchanging.
And we need God to do this work in our lives, don't we? To root us, to ground us in the love he has for us, to strengthen us in our inner being. Listen, if we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, if we're going to represent him well, we must first be rooted and grounded in the love he has for us. A pastor by the name of Matt Chandler, he says this. You'll see this quote. He says this, it's the work of the Spirit rooting you in love, rooting you in mercy, rooting you in that place where you're confident that he is at work. I am his, he is mine, he dwells inside of me, and I am safe in his hands. Are we as a church confident of that reality? That's what Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus, God, that they would know that you're at work, that we're in your hands, that we're safe, that we're grounded in this love that's unmovable, unshakable, unchanging. Are we desperate for that? Do we want that? God to move in this way among us. All right, so where does this leave us? Where do we land the plane today, so to speak? Well, I just have two hopes for us this morning. We're going to pick it up at verse 18 in a couple weeks because there's a lot more that Paul gets into here. But my first hope is this, that we as a church, that we as God's people would continue to anchor ourselves in the truth of God's word because we need that. Oh, I pray that there'd be a longing in our hearts to study, to know, to memorize, to be in God's word, because that truth is an anchor for us. It illuminates, it strengthens our faith. But I also pray that we would be desperate, that we'd be desperate for God to do a work of renewal in our hearts, to strengthen us through his Spirit. But like Paul, that we'd plead with God, God, would you do this work in us? We can't do it. We can't. But God, would you? Would you enable us to walk in the freedom you've called us to? Would you enable us to live out that knowledge of you that we know, that truth that we know? For those of you who are parents, grandparents, you guys raise your hands, all the parents, grandparents in here? All right. So for those of you parents, grandparents, we are called to instruct our children, right, in the ways of the Lord. We're called to teach them scripture. We're called to be in God's word together. That is so important, all right, that foundation of truth. But we're also called to pray for our children, for our grandchildren, for our nieces and nephews, those of you who have those. I don't know of a better prayer we can pray for our young people, our children, grandchildren, and what Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. God, would you strengthen them? All this knowledge that they know about you, may it not just be head knowledge. God, may it move to a transformation of heart. God, would you, with our children, would they be rooted? Would they be grounded in your love? This love that's unmovable, this love that's unshakable, this love that's unchanging. Think of what God could do, church, if we were grounded in that love. Think of what he could accomplish in us, through us, in our families, in our marriages, in our children, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our schools, as we ask him to do a work of transformation in our hearts, as we pray that we would be rooted, that we would be grounded in the love he has for us. I pray that we would be desperate to see God move in this way among us. Let's pray this morning. Father, I just ask that you would speak this morning. Lord, and that you would do a work that we in and of ourselves can't do. Again, God, this isn't about striving. You don't call us to do that. You call us to rest. Father, you call us to surrender. And so may that be the posture of our hearts this morning. Father, may we as your church, I do pray that we would be rooted, that we would be grounded in the truth of your word. Father, that there'd be a longing of our hearts to know you more, but Father, that we'd also be rooted and grounded in the love you have for us. Lord, that it just wouldn't be head knowledge that leads to pride, that leads to self-righteousness. Father, we don't want that. We want and we need you to do a work of renewal in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come. Again, do what we cannot do. Father, we love you. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you for the immense, immense love that you have for us, this love that's unmovable, unshakable, unchanging. Father, may we be rooted. May we be grounded in that love this morning. We pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand?